You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
If you look behind me, there is the famous portrait of Cranmer. Now, you'll notice he has a book in his hands. And it's an interesting book because it's the epistles of Paul. He's telling you that he's a Protestant, that he believes salvation comes through faith, not through works. But if you look on the table, there are two books. Unfortunately, the bottom book, its label has fallen off, and despite the best efforts of everyone and X-ray techniques, we can't recover what that book's title was. But the book that sits on it, it says Augustine on Faith and Works. And he's telling you that it's Augustine's theology of grace and gratitude that sent him back to Paul's epistles to reread it and see if the European theologians got it right, or if they, despite their best efforts, had departed from the teachings of Scripture. And he's signaling for everyone to see that Augustine was formative in the English Reformers recapturing both the authority of Scripture and its message. So I tell folks back home that to be an African Anglican is to be African twice, which is incredibly important because that means we are not a colonialist church, that the missionaries didn't bring the gospel to Africa, they returned it back home. And for our work amongst the people of Africa, you can imagine how important that distinction is for propagating the faith today. And I would ask for your prayers, because can you guess who the chief evangelist is of the Diocese of North Africa? This is when you say the bishop, of course. But it's not true. It's Jesus coming to people. A man who came to me for ordination process, I asked, how did you come to know Jesus? And he said, well, it was past midnight. He was in bed with his girlfriend. He was 21, and he felt lost and hopeless and in despair. And he said, God, he didn't articulate, just in his heart cried, if you are real, show yourself to me. It sounds like a fairy tale. The room fills with light, and a man comes, and out of his face is this hugely shining light, so much so that the guy gets out of bed and puts his hands in front of his face and kneels to shield himself from the light. And the man keeps saying, come unto me, all you that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will refresh you. And then it stops. He disappears. His girlfriend at that point wakes up, sees him like that, and says, do I need to get a bucket? Are you going to be sick? Because it looks like He says, no, no, this man, I have no idea who he is. And he kept saying something I don't understand. Come unto me, all you that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. His girlfriend says, well, if he said that, that person is Jesus, because that's from the Christian's book. At which point he bursts out laughing. What do you know about the Christian's book? 5 years before, she says, someone gave me a Bible. I opened it up, I read that sentence, I closed it, and got rid of the Bible. All I know is if he said that, that's Jesus. He doesn't marry that young woman. They break up. But God put everything in place in advance so he could call him. And someone who specializes in Cranmer's Comfortable Words, if a bishop hears that Jesus has quoted the Comfortable Words to him and he wants to be ordained, maybe I should listen. What do you think? Pray that the church can gather up, disciple, strengthen, and release the handiwork of our chief evangelist, Jesus, because he's not the only example of that. For over 1,200, 1,300 years, we have prayed for the faith to return to the birthplace of Western Christianity. And in our day, God himself is at work. I have no idea why he's chosen now, but let us get behind what he's doing and give everything we have to the support of it. Okay. What about Augustine? There are two ways to understand the church. Did Jesus come to give a message that has the power to create community? Or did Jesus come to found an institution to which he entrusted a message? Why would this distinction be important? What's more important, the message or the institution? And that goes through the history of Christianity. The reformers decided that the message was more important than the institution. So they separated from the Roman Catholic Church. If you want to reform a church, do you look to the structures or do you look to the message? And what has authority to determine the message? The message or the institution? Sandy Miller liked to quote a missiologist who said, every message has a package. Usually you keep the message the same and you change the packaging from generation to generation as culture changes. We in the Anglican tradition keep the packaging and change the message. If Jesus came to found an institution, then that's the way you think. But if he came to found a message, then that's not the way you should think. You keep to the message, and what you need to do to further that message, that's what you follow. For Augustine, I'm sorry. So, there is a debate today between sola scriptura and the great tradition. Has anyone heard about the great tradition?
The three-legged stool?
Well, that's Hooker, and a lot of people try to... Hooker said that there were three sources of authority in Anglicanism: scripture, tradition, and reason. And he actually put it scripture, reason, and tradition. But 20th century theologians made it three legs of equal authority, which Hooker never did. It was a ladder, and of course scripture's on top. And if you can't understand scripture, then you look to how other people have interpreted it to help you see if you're on the right track. And then finally, you look at reason to help you compare parts of the scripture to scripture and scripture to how other people have. And that is the origin of Anglican theological authority. But the great tradition argues that there is a consensus of the fathers that carries up to today, and that we should interpret the Bible through the great tradition, through the fathers. Unfortunately, for that tradition to hold through, they have to drop out the Reformation, because the Reformation rejects the teachings of the middle period and goes back to the fathers. How come people like Cranmer rejected the teaching tradition of the church that had existed for between 500 and 1,000 years? What gave him confidence that his understanding of the Bible could overturn centuries of teaching? Can anyone guess?
Grace. So aggressive.
Grace? Where does he come across the teachings of grace? What's on the table? Augustine. He goes back to the early fathers, and he begins to see that the early fathers taught something different than the medieval theologians. And the early fathers sent him back to scripture. And there are three primary areas where Augustine's teaching on scripture changes his views and leads to the Protestant Reformation in England. Any guesses what those three areas might be? What are the most contested things in Christianity? One, what is the basis of authority? Did God make a tree? Right? He's the creator of all. Should I go out and hug a tree to meet God? Doesn't work like that, does it? Well, some folks think actually do, you know, neo-paganism, but usually. How do we hear God? How do we know? Do we listen to the voice of the church, or do we listen to the voice of God? Is there a difference? And if there is a difference, where do we find the voice of God? If I can't meet him in a tree, where do I meet him? Any guesses? In scripture. Because what is scripture? It's God's word, God's self-revelation. You see, the medieval period is all about what we try to do to get right with God. to the point that communion was a sacrifice of the Mass. The priest stood between God at the altar with their backs, and who's behind them? The people, because they were doing a work on behalf of the people to appease God. It's all about what we do to get things right. Could I have a volunteer? Anybody want to come up? Come on, be brave, you all.
Thank you. Please sit down.
What just happened? I hugged Coffee, and what did Coffee do? He hugged me back. Now, if you do that to an Englishman, what will happen? They will hug you back, even though they are hating every second of it and thinking these Americans have no sense of proper distance. But they too will hug, because here's the secret. How do you get an Englishman to do something they don't want to do? You make not doing it more awkward than doing it. And for them to have their hands down like this as you're hugging them, that's even worse. So they hug back. That principle is the whole point of the Reformation. Do we look for God, chase after Him, and convince Him that we are good enough for Him to be interested in? Anyone ever heard of prosperity gospel? What is the basis of prosperity gospel? I prove that I am worthy of your supernatural intervention by my trust in you. Faith is my work, which you then reward because I deserve. When I was growing up, it was Cadillacs, but Cadillacs are not anymore. I suppose it's BMWs, Mercedes-Benz, or was it Kenneth Copeland Jr. with the $40 million airplane? Something like that. Or is the message that God comes to people who reject Him, who aren't looking for Him, who are confident in their own strength, and even when things are going wrong and they're totally miserable, still look to themselves as the ones who will get themselves out of the mess that they are in? Is the basis of Christianity God comes to us at our worst and says, I love you, and hugs you, and you are surprised that in that embrace, something deep down inside you is touched and comes alive? Ever had a rebellious, angry 2-year-old? And what do you do when they're throwing a temper tantrum? You just give them a big hug, right? And they beat your chest for about a minute. And then they just collapse in tears and hug back, right? That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what Augustine helped Cranmer understand, that Christianity is about God coming to us rather than us coming to Him. God hugs us and we respond. We do have to respond, but our response is drawn out of us and powered and sustained by that hug that won't let us go, even at our worst. So, Augustine helped Cranmer understand that principle in three areas: the authority of Scripture, the nature of salvation, and the nature of communion. Let's take each one. The nature of Scripture. Ever heard of apostolic succession? That's very Anglican, right? Well, it all depends on how you define it. Because in the medieval period, a bishop has been given an extra special amount of the Holy Spirit. Do you, you'll see I have a purple ring on, an amethyst stone. Does anyone know why bishops wear purple? Well, originally it was because they were imperial officials and purple is the color of imperial. But in the Middle Ages, that wasn't a good thing. So they backdated the theological justification. What do most bishops wear? I'm a Reformation dude, so you won't see me in a mitre. But what is a mitre supposed to represent? How? It's supposed to represent the Holy Spirit. How?
Like the dove, the tongues of fire?
The tongues of fire on Pentecost. That funny shape is supposed to be a tongue. Because on Pentecost, the tongue of fire came down upon the apostles. And in Greek, an amethyst literally means not drunk. Gnosis is the Greek word for knowledge. What's an agnostic? Someone who doesn't know. A means not. So an amethyst stone means not drunk, because there was a myth, if you drank out of a cup jeweled with amethyst stones, you wouldn't get drunk. Why would the phrase not drunk be significant if you're trying to give a theological explanation for purple?
Because the disciples were accused of being drunk when they spoke in multiple languages.
Exactly. So, an amethyst stone means that you are filled with the Spirit and not with alcohol. And therefore, apostolic succession in the Middle Ages became this idea that the Holy Spirit was given not to the church, but to the bishops. And people got the Holy Spirit from the bishops. And how did they do that? Bishops get hands laid on them, right? And they're supposed to be passing down the holy fire. How do I, as a bishop under this theory, pass my holy fire on to you? I ordain a priest. And the priest now has the holy fire. And how does the priest give you the holy fire? Through the sacraments. Through baptism, communion, confession. So apostolic succession is an unbroken chain of the Holy Spirit. The reformers reject that, because it seemed obvious to them that the people filling the office of the bishop weren't necessarily particularly holy. And worse, their teachings were not in accordance with the message. They said Jesus didn't come to found an institution of holy bishops. He came to preach a message which gathered a community of bishops and other people to proclaim it. So for Cranmer, apostolic succession is the passing down of God's Spirit. How does, if it's not passed down through holy people, how do you think they thought the Holy Spirit was passed down from generation to generation?
The same way it was in the beginning, God gave his Holy Spirit to each individual who comes to him.
Right, but how do they come to him?
How does it come to
them? How do they come to faith? Romans 10:10.
Well,
through the hearing of the word. How do you know if I have bad breath? You come close to me, right? And as I talk, with my words goes my breath. So for the reformers, when God's word is preached, the Holy Spirit goes forth and it does its work. When we hide scripture in our hearts, we are hiding that which tethers the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. The job of the church isn't to be, through the bishops, to keep the Holy Spirit. It's to be the people who proclaim God's word. And through that proclamation, anyone ever understand why we have morning and evening prayer? Have you noticed the human heart is hard to change? Have you noticed just because you know you shouldn't be selfish, doesn't mean you can flip a switch and you're not? Have you noticed that you can hurt the person who loves you the most? Whether it's a quick, angry reply without thought, or a stubborn determination to do something else, and that you don't do it just once? How do we face the fact that we have good and bad? What's the source of repentance? If God hugs us and we respond, where does God hug us? What is evening and morning prayer all about? Listening to the reading of Scripture on a systematic daily basis, so our heart gets soaked in His Word, so it can hug us regularly, and its promises stir us up and begin to change us. That understanding of Scripture as God's self-revelation over and over again of God's intervention into our lives as the voice of God to us comes from his reading the writings of Augustine. Augustine says, look, don't look to my writings to understand Scripture. Look to Scripture's writings and judge me. They used the fathers to go back to Scripture against those who leaned on the fathers instead of Scripture. Now, if that's about Scripture, we said that there were two other areas. The second area was the nature of salvation. Stephen Gardner in Henry VIII listens to Cranmer's understanding of free forgiveness and laughs. Cranmer based the whole church on this notion. Grace produces gratitude. Gratitude produces love. Love produces repentance. Repentance produces good works. Repentance produces a better society. Repentance draws us closer to God and each other. Repentance enables us to be relationally rich with God and one another. It's the foundation of all renewal, and it comes not in order to earn love, but because we received it. That, to him, is the message, which he gets from Augustine's reading of Paul, and says, this is the gospel. Gardner in Shakespeare's words, but perfectly summing up Gardner, Cranmer's chief opponent. Words and weakness. Words and weakness. Anyone here a parent? Have you noticed that fear, shame, guilt, and duty can temporarily appear to be a more effective way to get your children to change? But isn't what you really want your kids to think, my parents love me so much, I don't want to do anything that would be disrespectful or injure someone who loves me so much. Isn't that what you really want? Be thinking in their mind that only the unconditional love of God for sinners can inspire sinners to love God more than sin. That's the hallmark of prayer book spirituality. And that too comes from the writings of Augustine. And finally, what is going on in communion? In the medieval period, it's a work of the priest to appease God on behalf of the people. For Cranmer, it's God clearly hugging us, reminding us the cost to him to hug us when we need it the most. That's why the comfortable words are put right before the Sursum Corda, that having heard that his love costs him to die so we don't have to, then after that you hear, lift up your heart. And for Cranmer, it seems clear to him that for Augustine, the language of Christ's body and blood on the table is symbolic because Christ's body is in heaven. And the miracle for Cranmer is not that he comes down, but he draws us up. So we really do feed on him. But in a way that's mystical communion, that one can't put into words. It has nothing to do with the bread and the wine. They remind us that he's feeding us supernaturally and invisibly. But that his love draws us to be strengthened by that love flowing out of him. And that to focus on changing bread and wine is to miss the greater miracle. Can you guess what the greater miracle is? Changing us to be more in love, and therefore more whole and life-giving to those around us. On these three key points, the writings of Augustine took Cranmer back to Scripture and helped him rethink the last 1,000 years to give us founding documents based on the authority, the power, the promise, and the hope that God's love will not let us go until we are as loving and lovely as the love we receive today in Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.